episode 27 of The Rift, Monday, January 17th, 2011. My name is Arithian.
And my name is Desicus.
So you had a busy week, Desi?
Not so much, actually. Except for me crying that my car is dirty.
Aww, very because of the snow.
Dirty. I actually spun my car in a circle.
You did? When did you do that?
The first day it snowed. Yes, we finally got snow. Lots of snow. And I was going through, of course, a very curvy neighborhood.
Oh, no.
It was kind of fun, actually.
I got up to go to training on the Monday when it was, like, just white. Uh-huh. And, like, 5 inches of white.
You hate snow.
I hate snow. So I took my husband's car because he told me I wasn't allowed to take the new car because the new car isn't allowed to touch snow or dirt, apparently.
For 5 years.
For 5 years until we sell it again. Yeah, I'm hoping this will change, but, so I took his car, but it had snow tires, so it didn't even feel like it was different driving. It was awesome.
Okay, my car is always going to feel like there's snow on the road. I actually had to go and buy sandbags to weigh down the back of my car.
Oh my gosh.
And so I have 260-pound bags of sand in the back of my car, which, by the way, was fun to carry, because that's as much as me. Oh, so no. I had to carry out, and they had to carry it for me.
Well, it's been a bit of a hectic week for me. There's floods in Brisbane, everybody send out your best positive thoughts to it. I have family in Brisbane and all my high school friends and friends. I'm from Brisbane, so I've been checking in daily with my parents, but the river is receding and everybody I know is okay. So just, you know, send out good thoughts to those people over there. So, but it's end of financial year at work. And
chaos.
Yeah. And there's no beta for me to go and kill things. And, like, get out my aggression. So
she takes it out on her husband.
I do not.
That's not much. True. I have to tease.
I know. So the podcast has had a great week this last week. I mean, it's been a really good week. Thank you to everybody who listens, everybody who subscribes to us. We truly appreciate everybody listening.
Definitely.
I was at a little bit of a loss of what to do in this week, because there's been no beta and that's kind of been it, but we thought we would talk to some people about PvP.
Yay! And of course I wasn't here for the interviews.
So we will get into that interview in a few.
We also have a great competition. We'll be holding it over the duration of the next beta, and we will let everybody know about that later after the interview.
Yeah, we will. Today we have Cindy Abigail Bones with us, taking a small part in our discussion. I do believe you did say you don't PvP much, Abby.
That's true. I've tried it a few times, but I am really, really bad at it. I'm definitely more of a PvE player. But I was really happy that you invited me today. I'm so glad to meet these other guests and hear their feedback, and I will definitely be taking notes and passing it along.
Excellent. Well, you know, it's not really the same without you, so...
I know. I would miss you terribly if I didn't get invited.
Okay, so on to our other guests for the day. We have some members of the Guild Blood Pact who achieved an amazing little throne room overthrow in Beta 4. Now, they're with us to chat about the PvP aspects of Rift. We have Apatheus, a rogue and senior officer. Hello.
Hi.
And we have Vecna, who is a mage.
Hello, Arithian. Thanks for the invite.
And Rival, who played a rogue as well.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome, everybody. I'm going good, actually. Well, you're a PvP guild. Can you give us a rundown of what type of PvP you partook in during Beta 4 and or 3?
I think we partook in every type of PvP that was available throughout all the... as much as they gave us war fronts, world PvP, invading their little home city. I think duels all day. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all we were able to do.
Yeah, I mean, in Beta 3, with the level cap not being raised, there was a lot of world PvP going on, a lot of invasions into Sanctum. And then in Beta 4, we would always have a Warfront queued up. It seems like we were always in a group of five.
Excellent. Now, I seem to remember that both Blood Pact and Silent Warriors stormed the Guardian City Sanctum in Beta 4. I remember you chatting about it in general chat, and I saw the post that went up on the forums. Now, could you tell us a bit about that? Why did you do it? Were you bored? Did somebody dare you?
Oh, we just sort of, we'd been PvPing, obviously, doing the world PvP in Beta 3, and the Guardians had given us a good kicking, like the day before, so we returned the favour and trashed their event. And then there was a GM, Ella, there, who just basically said to us, you know, as a reward for doing so well and redeeming yourselves from the day before, we're going to pull back the guards at the Sanctum Bridge. So we all cheered and obviously dived off to Sanctum. And just as we were all riding off, she said, oh, and just as an addition, there's no one's ever reached the throne yet, to our knowledge, so you need to try for that. So that was sort of the inspiration for the attack on Sanctum. And we didn't get a chance to do it in Beta 3, but we remembered it for Beta 4. And we just thought, oh, that sounds like fun. Let's give it a go and sort of say thanks to Ella for the inspiration.
Well, actually, to add to that, we were actually given the challenge by a GM before we actually invaded. I think they challenged us to give a counterattack to the Guardian attacks that were happening earlier. So I think we took that challenge with the help of Silent Warriors.
Yeah, there was a lot of GM taunting on the server messages, which was fantastic for us because it made it so much more fun to see like the involvement, which has been through all the betas, just the way the GMs like interact with everything. It's been brilliant.
Actually, you know, those weren't GMs. Those were actually dev guys in there. You know, we've had lots of people on the team taking turns logging on and taking care of the events and kind of going along with what's going on each server and observing what's happening. So we've had a lot of fun. It's been really a good time just watching everybody get into the game and try out all these different aspects and then report back what's going on.
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of fun on our side also. I mean, those events in Beta 3 were great. So the PvP is just, we're loving the world PvP right now.
Yeah, it's really impressive how much work the devs and GM seem to put into the game, how responsive they are. It's amazing. If anything, I'd buy the game just for that, because as soon as people report something, a GM's connected with you within an hour, it seems to be. And then these fixes come out relatively fast as well.
Okay, so you got to Sanctum, you got behind the throne or on the throne. Did you encounter any kind of resistance? Like, did the guards protect the city at all? Do they need to be bolstered? Like, did you find any bugs?
The way we went about it is we were actually fighting at the Sanctum Bridge at the time, and one of our members, lo and behold, without telling us, had ended up walking into Sanctum and got onto the balcony, and what he saw there was Silent Warriors was already there, and we had no idea. But we do have some people in the guild, including myself and Apatheus, who are very good friends with Silent Warriors, so we ended up communicating and kind of going at it together, and that's when we started to film and just, you know, filmed it from the top of the balcony going into the throne room just so we could have a little proof and show to the devs, you know, hey, we did this.
Throw down the gauntlet.
In terms of bolstering the guys, I mean, obviously the second they saw us, they were hitting for 10,000, 11,000 with just the normal melee, so they were just one-shotting us. What we did notice, though, they seemed to have quite limited line of sight, whether it was like a 180-degree same plane, because we had people dancing on the spans of the bridge directly above the guards, which was quite funny until they got pulled off those spans by the guardians and destroyed. And the stealth detection, I think there was a rogue on the forums at Chez UK or something had managed to stealth through, and he said the stealth detection wasn't too good on the guards. But that was pretty much the only things. And I think Captain Curse has countered our banner spot now by putting the guards down on the balcony, from what he said.
Well, I don't think a level 27 rogue could stealth past the bridge. I don't think that was possible.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's not possible. No, if you were to try to stealth right through the bridge, even at level 50, you'd get detected. I'm pretty sure that would happen, because at 27, you were getting detected from a mile away stealth. So I imagine you can't even stealth through there at any point.
We shall see.
Yeah, we'll see.
You'll try it.
As for bolstering the guards, I'm not sure how this game wants to go, if it wants to go really world PvP heavy, or they want to put guards around every corner to really stop players from going into the main city at all. It really depends on how they want their world PvP to be, if they want any city invasions at all, or if they want a really strong resistance from the guards.
Okay, so for Beta 5, hasn't Captain Cursor pretty much dared you all to try it again?
Yeah.
So are you going to take him up on it?
Oh, definitely.
You know, we've talked about it, and we have actually talked with Silent Warriors, so we're going to be going at it again together, and we do have some tricks up our sleeves that we want to try, but we're going to keep those in the down low right now.
Excellent. Well, I'm hoping that I might actually be online at the same time this time instead of getting there in the tail end of it.
Definitely going to have to join us then.
That would be fun.
That would be nice.
I mean, we might get completely slaughtered, but it's going to be fun trying.
Okay, now, a lot of this is something you like about the PvP. You know, you said you like the world PvP and everything. Now, can you share your concerns about the PvP with us? Like, what did you not like? What would you like to see improved or added to the game?
Oh, man. a huge thing, and what the world PvP is, which we've been doing the most of, the Guild Rally tokens, which allow you to teleport to your Guild Rally banner, they go on cooldown after every little thing. Like, if I use my Soul Recall, my Guild Rally token, in turn, is on a 30-minute cooldown. Ooh. If I die, my Guild Rally token is, in turn, on a 30-minute cooldown. Or if I log off, it's on a 30-minute cooldown. So I'm not sure if this is a bug or if this is intentional, but it's definitely something that I would love to see changed, because especially in the Sanctum raid, it was a huge hindrance to getting everyone in the raid up where they need to be.
Well, make sure you feedback that.
Oh, it's definitely been done.
Yeah, we, you know, that's the cool part about all of this, these beta weekends and the beta events is, you know, they are reading all the feedback. And like you guys said, they're making changes as we go. So, you know, we really do value what you guys think and you know, what you think needs to be changed. Not that we can change everything, but we definitely are looking at what's going to make the game more enjoyable for the most people.
The other really big thing for us, like I said, the rally tokens was one of the main ones, and the other main one for us was the soul vitality penalty for PvP deaths. But if the rally tokens were fixed, that would go a long way towards alleviating that. But it's very difficult in some zones, like Silverwood especially. Maybe that's by design, though, where there's no sort of friendly soul healer. There's a friendly soul healer at a Defiant camp in Glomewood, for example. So when you've done sort of extended PvP raiding and recovery, you can just nip to the soul healer in Glomewood and heal up. But there was no feature for that in Silverwood, which was a problem for us in Beta 3. So I don't know whether soul vitality being removed from PvP deaths might be an idea, or whether, like I said, the rally token would go enough of a way towards solving those sort of issues. But that was one thing that bothered us, especially Beta 3.
Well, I mean, definitely when we're out there as a raid group and we get wiped, because, I mean, it's inevitable that we're fighting in Sanctum, we're on the Guardian's territory, they're going to wipe us. And whether it happened once, whether it happened five times, they're going to wipe us. And when we regroup at the graveyard, we take the 10% death penalty from the death on top of the 25% death penalty from rezzing at their graveyard. So it's just after two or three wipes, we end up having to leave. And then getting everyone back is not always the easiest thing.
Again, it's just an idea that occurred to me. We noticed it in Beta 4 when we were sort of roaming around looking for some world PvP and finding there wasn't much because of the war fronts. But we took a raid to Glomewood and we pretty much trashed everything in the zone. We had fun like taking over the Guardian treehouse and everything. And it just one thing occurred to me is that there was no sort of safe area in Glomewood for the Guardians if they wanted to like avoid like a raid ganking them. Whereas in, say, Silverwood, they could head to Sanctum. So I didn't know whether there were maybe plans to include like a max level guard safe zone, as it were, or some sort of safe zone in each zone for them, or whether it's just by design that you can take a raid in there and literally trash the entire zone. That was one thing that occurred to me.
Did you find, like, that you could sort of tailcoat any Defiant invasions into Guardian territory? Or did you find that the rifts and invasions kind of helped with trashing the opposition zones?
We just sort of steamrolled at everything in Glomewood, I think, didn't we?
Actually, I think Guardians who were invading us actually gravitated towards rifts, because I think they noticed people were doing rifts, since that was one of the things to do once you reached N level, so yeah, they were actually going towards rifts to find Defiance to fight.
I remember that there's somebody who sent me a message on the forums who was very, very happy that they killed me.
Dear.
I was in the process of there was like invasions galore. There was death invasions, earth invasions, and three Guardian invasions approaching like that little area near Deep Strike Mines that isn't Granite Falls. That next camp up, and I was tanking probably about six mobs. And slowly dying because no heals were keeping me up. Like, there just wasn't enough heals to be had. And I suddenly got, like, the crap smacked out of me. And I look up as I'm dead and I'm like, oh, Guardians, great.
What class were you tanking six mobs, though?
I was a Pally Reaver build.
Yeah, there it is. That's how you do it.
Pally Reaver, and when I get older, I will test with Pally Reaver Warlord and or Pally Reaver Void Knight, but I'm pretty sure after seeing the trees that I can get a really good AoE aggro holding tank out of a Pally Reaver Warlord. Pretty sure. Yep. But I need to have it. Like, I need to be able to play it. Like, it's not enough.
You get that really good pull as well on the Warlords for runners, which is fantastic on an 8-second cooldown. It's amazing.
Well, the aggro is one thing, but being able to actually survive that many mobs. I think clerics can do that too, but
the sentinel is a really good healer. My husband switched from warden to sentinel and could keep me alive so much easier. But I mean, you also had other people targeting you. Like it wasn't just my guys healing me. I was getting heals from other people because you can target through the mob and heal whoever's it's got aggro on.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I was getting heals from everybody, not just my husband. My favorite was one where I actually had two full, I don't know how I did it, but I had two full Guardian invasions on me, and that was a lot of fun. And we managed to hold them. And I used my Lay on Hands, or whatever it's called in this game, but I used it. But still, we held it until we got more people, so that was 20 awesome. 20
minutes. Yep, 20 minutes. But yeah, you mentioned the Warlord, and... The way, I don't know if you've seen all of our PvP videos, but the way we do it, and especially if you're watching me play, is we'll have our main, I guess you can say, tank in our raid, and then we'll have him as a Warlord spec, and anything that he calls, any target that he calls, any player, you know, the Guardian, he's going to pull them toward our group, and we're going to have everyone just target on our main tank, and target to target our target, and then we'll just spike him down, and that's exactly how we play our PvP with the Warlord. So it's a great spec to have.
Oh yeah, it's funny. We had people taunting us on the other side of the bridge, and we had our warlords target that person who was taunting us, and when he got close enough, we'd just all pull him in, and it would just be destruction.
Yeah, that was funny. You could take it even a step further with two warlords, because obviously they're still within heal range when you pull them, but if you have another warlord further back, you can pull them out of heal range as well with a second warlord and just kill them easy then.
That is awesome. That's it. I'm going to go spec one of my specs into warlord. I can afford my third spec now, so... I'm going to go and spec in completely into Warlord just to get that.
Yeah, well, when you PvP with really us, fun. You'll have to have it, and we'll get you to go ahead and chain pull with us.
I love the tanking in this game. I really do. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I did start off playing a tank, and I liked it.
I mean, I just hope they have warriors a bit, because we got a few warriors in our guild. They keep complaining about how rogues are so much better at tanking than them.
I think warriors are good tanks if you've got a solid healer behind you. I had no problem keeping aggro on multiple mobs.
No, see, I think that's the power of the warrior, is they have higher AoE threat, but I think the rogue has better, can take more damage.
You know? Only if you spend your points, right?
I'm just curious, are you guys using different roles for PvP than you are when you're actually leveling and adventuring?
Oh, indeed.
Very much
yes.
So.
Yeah,
very much, yes.
Definitely.
With my role, I got the PvP role in Beta 3 through World PvP, and what I use is I use the Infiltrator with the Marksman, and I have Riftstalker, but I don't put points into it. I take the zero-point ability for the Shadow Step, which is great to get out of any trouble, and I mostly spec Marksman, and since we can only go into Prestige 1 right now, I have the boost in damage in the Infiltrator, and the rest is all on Marksman. I'm maxed in Marksman. I love the range.
Yeah, we couldn't level up our infiltrator ability, though, which is a little bit depressing. I don't think we're actually able to level it up. I'm not sure how to actually level it up, but we weren't able to. We were only able to go to first 5 points into the unlockable PvP tree.
Yeah, because we needed prestige, I think, and we never found a way to gain prestige.
I think they didn't have it turned on. Favor. That's what I was under the impression of.
Yeah, that's what we thought, too.
But, I mean, a lot depends on your class as well, as to what build you use. I mean, when I was healing, it was pretty much my PvE build of Chloromancer Stormcaller. Obviously, Stormcaller's fantastic in the mass PvP because of the raid-wide regen buff, so it's really helpful for people on that. But as a DPS... I'd go to a more PvP-oriented spec with sort of Pyromancer and Dominator-type specs.
I had one general complaint that I think a lot of our guildies shared, and that was a combination of two mechanics that are in-game right now. That is the debuff you get when you're running away with your back turned to mobs.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then with a combination of the really fast dismounts. So this could happen in a lot of different situations, world PvP, just questing. But if you're trying to run through mobs and you get dismounted and you actually keep trying to run away, you're going to get beat up really fast because you're taking 200% damage since the 5 stacks come on really fast. You're going to be dismounted. And in World PvP, if you're trying to run away or anything, it's going to hurt because you're going to have the 200% damage on you, and then that player's going to be doing that as well as the mob on you.
Well, maybe it's more of a stand and fight and die with honor.
But see, then that mechanic also takes place inside of instances. So if a tank's trying to reposition themselves to get aggro, then they can get damage on them and they start going down really fast.
That's definitely something to look at.
I'm really bad. I kind of just charge into the middle and immediately am on the other side to continue my AE aggro.
You just kind of hope Healer has your back, huh?
Hey, he's my husband. He has to have my back. He really has no choice there.
True that.
Oh, yeah. With the specs, I was teaching myself how to tank. I had said ages and ages ago, I want a tank. And everybody in my guild picked a freaking defensive tank. They're like, I want to play a defensive tank. Well, now there was only like one more person who has been vocal who has said, I'm going to stay as a defensive tank. And I was like, well, damn you all, I'm going to play a defensive tank. I've always wanted to prove that a girl can tank. So I rolled it, and I must admit, I didn't really PvP spec myself because I was trying to concentrate on actually learning how to tank with my class.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an experience because there's just so much of a variety that there's definitely not one way to tank, for one. And two, when you have all these different ways you can go about it, you just have to keep learning and learning and learning, and it seems like you're always going to be learning, and you're never going to, you know every single thing about what you're doing, because there's always something to learn.
Yeah, big time in PvP. People complain about, eventually, in the long term, everyone turns towards cookie cutter, but I see if the player community is really driven, there's always going to be someone coming up with a new spec to top the highest spec right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because, I mean, If anyone's played Guild Wars, there's the builds, and then, you know, spec A can beat spec B, but then, you know, it just, there's another spec that can't beat one spec, but can beat another spec. So it's going to be very, very balanced, and that's what I hope it's going to, you know, I hope that's what it turns into.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a kid in a candy shop with all the different builds, because it's not so much, like, you basically just get a concept in your head of what you want to accomplish, and then you just look for the tools to do that, and there's so many ways to do it, like you were saying with the tanks. I mean, there's so many combinations, even in just the warrior, where you could have like, I mean, I went slightly unorthodox with the paladin and the warlord, because I like the pull and the short range taunts, but other people have done like sort of paladin with champion, paladin with reaver, paladin reaver, void knight, and just all different things, but they're all unique in their own, like it fits to their playstyle, how they want to do it, because even within the trees, you can take a different path up the trees and spec it to little things that suit you personally. Yeah. And I'd, like I say, I love that side of the game. It's fantastic. And it's same with PvP as well.
I really like that myself. That's one of the coolest things I think about playing this game and messing with the classes is I always think, you know what, nobody else can tell me how to best play my class. Because, you know, unless you have the exact same build with the exact same point distribution, you're not an expert, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I totally agree, because, you know, and I'm sure you've all played other kinds of MMORPGs where the cookie-cutter builds, like Apathia said, people are constantly critiquing how you're playing your class in that game, but like me, from what I liked, I'm playing a marksman, and when I'm in a warfront, if I want to, say, go bard, I'm a rogue, and I was playing a melee DPS, and now I'm a caster as a rogue, and it's amazing to be able to do that. I love it.
Yeah, you're just given the toolbox. There's tons of abilities. Someone should come up with the numbers on how many different combinations you can. It would be ridiculous, but you're given the toolbox. You could pick what you want for every single specific situation, and you just pick what you need.
Okay, so one of the big questions is, what do you think about the warfronts? Do you think they're too simple? Should there be more variety? How much of the in-game PvP do the warfronts constitute?
You know, from what I've seen so far, the two that we have seen, the Black Garden, it's a very simplistic warfront, but I think the way that I've seen Guardians and Defiance play it is they'll take the Fang and they'll run it off to the sides, not realizing that when you keep that Fang in the middle, you get triple, if not quadruple, the points at some point, however far you run away from the middle. So it may be a little more informational needs to be in to, you know, kind of teach the players how to do it, or just a little more explanation, or maybe they just have to read more, I don't know. But the Codex, this is my favorite one out of the two. The Codex, it's very evenly distributed. The one flag on either side is not too far away from each respawn point. You know, it's where one has an advantage, and they're evenly spaced out on the sides. The big thing that I have with it, and it may just be an opinion, is when, say, a Guardian has a flag, and the Defiance go and assault the flag, the Guardians keep that flag for a minute. Instead of it going into, say, a neutral state where no one gets points, it halves the Guardians' points that they get, but yet they still keep it. And it may be a personal opinion, like I said, but it's just one of the things that, the small things that annoyed me with the Codex.
Oh, one really quick thing I want to throw in about the Codex as well is, if you happen to finish respawning, you hop on your mount, and then you feel like jumping off, or just walking off in general, you'll take fall damage, be dismounted, and yeah, you have to deal with the fall damage you took, you have to remount, and then go on.
I'm hoping that's not intended. Yeah.
That is true, because that was the biggest thing that I had with both mounts.
Yeah, it's sort of like a charge, or remount, charge again!
Yeah, besides that, I really like being able to queue up anywhere you are, and then as soon as you're done, you're right back where you started, so you really don't have any excuse for not joining up in a war front.
Was it good experience? The only thing on that was
instances.
Well, actually, a lot of us were leveling pretty hardcore during the war front, so we didn't actually really figure out how good of experience that was. I think it was pretty decent experience, but we hit 27 rather fast, the people here in the channel.
Pretty much what I did was, when we were group questing out and doing the PvE, we always had a queue as a group up for a Warfront. So once I got to the point where I didn't really have any quests left to do, I would say I was 26 and a half. I did level that half a level through Warfronts, and I believe it only took maybe 4 or 5. And, you know, you have fun doing it in the group while you're doing it. And they did increase the experience rate in the middle of the beta. So it was a very good experience.
Well, I was just saying, you could do it whenever you want. So it should be part of your leveling experience. Gives more XP.
Yeah, on the doing it when you want, I noticed we were sort of a bit addicted, so we were queuing even when we were doing Deep Strike Mines, because we got Deep Strike Mines quite quickly. And what we actually found is we got a Warfront pop just as we'd killed the mage boss, but we thought we'd sort of reminded to loot him. And so we popped in the Warfront, and then we discovered it resets the instance when we came out.
Oops.
There
was another thing, and I'm sure a lot of people actually experienced this when they went in the Black Garden, where, I don't know if it was on the Guardian side, but if you would kind of get in an awkward position in your spawn, you're trying to rush out your spawn, go get the Fang, you could get caught in between the wall that separates the sides. Yeah, and if you didn't have your last resort, like me, I throw mine away, because I'm like, okay, I'm not going to need this. Well, I sit in the Warfront for 15 minutes doing nothing because I can't move. I submitted a screenshot and a feedback for that, but that's another thing that I'm pretty sure probably I know many people in Blood Pack did see.
Now, when it comes to like the actual game PvP, do you think the Warfronts are like most are going to be most of it, or do you think there will be a lot of world PvP?
See, this is a big concern for me, because I played WoW, and I played Warhammer, and I played other PvP types of games, and it seems like the Battlegrounds always take over and take priority over the world PvP. And I'd love to see something that encourages players to get out there and not do just the occasional, you know, one-versus-one ganking in a contested zone, but actually get raids and go out and do like we're doing when launch comes at 50, and, you know, hey, let's go to Sanctum, and let's go to Meridian, and let's kind of have these fights between guilds and world PvP, and I think that's the fun part of it, but it just needs some aspect of the game to encourage players to do that.
Yeah, I think the community can't expect the developers to do everything to make players want to do world PvP. I think it has to be somewhat player driven. I mean, Warfronts are convenient to do. You could sign up for a Warfront whenever you want to, but I think you can have a lot more fun doing world PvP, getting infinite amount of people, and then just running around different terrains and stuff, running away, getting more people. It just gives you a lot more options.
Yeah, I think like the world PvP is more dependent on the community, because I mean, we went out and a lot of the time in the previous betas and in beta 4, we actually tried to organise it directly with like the Guardian Guilds, like Sanity's Requiem have been brilliant with getting a lot of the mass world PvP going for us. It's just sort of a case of, you know, meet up and, you know, off we go having a crack at each other, and I think Abyss has shown up a few times. It was a little harder in Beta 4 because we noticed you'd taken out the ability to whisper the opposing faction, but that wasn't such a big concern for us, and we know the need for that. I think the Warfronts will be a bigger part, simply because, you know, like the carrot on the stick, people will be after the rewards. And currently, one of the factors meaning that the Warfronts are going to be far more popular is the ease of getting favour. It's far easier to get a lot more favour in the Warfront for so little effort than it is for the world PvP, because obviously you've got to go out looking or organise the world PvP, whereas, like Apatheus says, you just simply queue up for the Warfront and it's easy to get in there.
Yeah, but you get more fun out of the Warfront, or out of world PvP. You get more creativity, a lot more content.
Yeah, and then not being able to queue up for a raid in Warfronts, it's kind of a downer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's probably one of the big ones as well. The non-raid queuing. But to implement that, then you need a queuing system that takes that into account, because obviously people who just want to queue solo don't want to end up facing a pre-made raid that just steamrolls them. So you need a queue system that tries to queue sort of pre-made v pre-made, or like pickup v pickup, and then you run into sort of extended queue times. So you have to put something that looks like, if the queue is going to be over 10 minutes, do we open queuing to any other type of of like group that's queued and things like that. And but it would be really nice though to have the raid queuing, just because that's what you're in the guilds for, to play together.
You know, like for guilds like Sandy's Requiem, which is Guardian side on Lotham, for people who don't know, and Blood Pack, which is Defiant side, it's definitely something that seems to be is going to be needed to queue up as a raid, just because of the amount of people we have and the amount of people that want to do Warfront. And I know it would definitely be something that would be challenging to implement, like Vecna said, with the queue times and with the soloers going up against the premades, because in past games that was always a complaint, people going up against premades when they themselves were not in a premade and they just get face rolled. And it's definitely an issue, and it's going to have to be addressed, I think.
How do you feel the PvP game will translate into the max level arena, where everybody is 50? I mean, do you think there's going to be enough to sustain people who purely like to PvP, or will it get stale?
I can't speak for level 50s right now, you know, obviously, because we're only level 27 at max beta, but I do hope that it all goes back to world PvP, in the sense that eventually people are going to be maxed out with their favor in Warfronts, and they're going to have the gear that they want, and maybe Warfronts are going to get stale. We don't know how the titles are going to work or how the prestige is going to work, but I do hope that at 50, when people do have their PvP gear, that they do pull back into world PvP a little bit more. That's just a personal opinion, though.
Yeah, besides the teleport stones, it was kind of hard to test out world PvP, since we haven't actually had any zones where both factions actually meet up in the middle. We haven't actually had any of that yet. It's just been zones segregated just for Guardians and just for Defiant, and they have to teleport to do any world PvP.
Well, the coming up one has Scarlet Gorge, right? Isn't that contested?
Should be, right?
I think it's contested. Cindy, is Scarlet Gorge contested?
Yes, it is.
See,
yes, it is.
That should be very interesting, able to meet up right in the center.
Yeah, that should be fun.
We will definitely be in a raid group for that one, so Guardians on Lotham, look out.
Yes, that's the first contested zone open, I believe.
Aren't all the rest of them contested after those first two zones? Like after Stonefield and Freemarch and whatever the Guardian ones are, because as you can tell, I've played Guardian a lot.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's the first one of many.
Well, actually, the zones that were given in Beta 4 were contested too, but it just has to be zones that have Guardians start on one side and Defiance on the other side, and then they eventually meet up right in the center. And
with quest hubs. Both with the quest hubs and the little towny things,
I mean, there's been a fair bit of world PvP in the betas, but obviously with the level cap, that's sort of like artificially creating the need to do other things for players, so you don't know how much of that is in like a natural part of the process and how much is just people going, oh, well, we'll give this a try because we've not got anything else to do, sort of thing.
Yeah, and, I definitely don't expect there to be much world PvP in launch until max level, because I know people are definitely going to be rushing that max level, and it's not going to...
I mean, echoing what Rival said with the what people are going to get out of it, like to sustain the PvP, I think similar to the class system, it's going to be very player-driven for, like, obviously the people who experiment with all different sort of types of specs are going to want to play more to test out all the different things. And then the Warfront, as Apatheus said, is going to be partially on like the carrot on the stick factor, like how easy they're going to get the rewards, because people will generally keep playing as long as they still want something out of those Warfronts. Mm. So that will probably be quite a large factor for the Warfront sort of longevity.
Yeah, level 50, I'm not sure what kind of incentives level 50s are going to have to keep going. I mean, there's dailies that are in contested zones, so they might be, level 50s might be fighting during while they're doing the dailies, but I'm not sure what other areas they're going to have motivation to do world PvP, besides, like, you know, hotspots that players make themselves to fight.
I think the rifts in the contested zones are going to speak for themselves. I'm ready for that.
Oh yeah, fights during raid rifts, that would be interesting.
Oh yeah, major rifts.
Yeah, I don't think just raid rifts though. I think it's going to be every rift, because as far if I've got it correct, and from the stuff I got in like the first few betas, like you get some stuff for crafting and everything from the rifts. I mean, you're going to be, if you're gearing up to be the best you can be, or to, you know, just have fun and improve your character gradually, you're still going to want the stuff from rifts that accents your gear, like those augments that you get that like augment a statistic, or those powdery looking things. I still haven't figured out because I didn't level my crafting up high enough. It's just that there's so much to get, and if there are two factions vying over the same rifts, whether they're raid or not, there's going to be contention.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, the augments are a huge deal. I mean, like I said, only level 27, we don't know how much crafting is going to affect the game toward end game, but if we do, if that is in fact the what's going to happen, we're going to need those augments, and it's definitely going to be a bloodbath.
Or even those, the currency, the rift currency, to get those neck things, those
the motes, yeah.
Yes, the motes to get the essences, the thing you put, the container you put the essence in.
Yeah.
Plus, you're going to want the essences, you know, you've got so many different specs, you're not going to just want to have one set of essences, you're going to want to have, like, one of those for each of your specs.
Well, yeah, I know, I think I had watched a video, I don't know who made it, Cindy might be able to answer it was a dev explaining how he has so many of those containers with so many different resists in them for the different instances that they go into. Say one instance might need life resist and the other may need death, so he equips the different kinds of
Not just resistances, it depends on how they implement the greater ones, but the greater ones can have additional effects that help you either PvP or PvE, so you could change out
the damage and the healing.
I was just going to say, I think you're going to continue to see a lot of goodies coming from those rifts.
Oh, we hope.
Reason to kill each other at 50.
That's
right.
They're
great experience. They are great experience, the rifts.
Well, if you're already 50, you just do it for the joy of killing other people.
Oh, well, you get rewards from it.
It's the faction rep as well, isn't it? Ties into the rifts, because each rift type has its own faction vendor.
Yeah,
with I think it's... When we were poking about, maybe we shouldn't have been, but we were poking about, and there was like greater essences with placeholder on, so they sound great. And then there was like the rift lures and things, which like expert rifts and stuff like that. But obviously, we couldn't see much because it was on the vendor, but it looked interesting, certainly.
Okay, well, I know I'm looking forward to seeing how the PvP pans out.
Oh yeah, we are too, definitely. I mean, that's the basis of our guild, hardcore PvP. So.
And so far, you've enjoyed it. But you're are you looking forward to it? Are you a little bit nervous about whether it's going to be as good as you want it to be?
Well, I mean, I speak for myself on the world PvP. That's just what I love to do. But the war fronts, I mean, minor tweaks and changes there from the two we've seen so far. We haven't seen what else is to come. But the two we've seen so far, they do seem pretty good, you know, compared to other games. So, you know, the minor tweaks that we've discussed here. And...
Oh, yeah, it's mostly positive. Like I said earlier, I'm really impressed by the job of the developers. They're going to constantly try to fix things as they see. And balance is something I don't think you can ever really get down to a perfection. I think you're always going to be having balance changes and stuff. So I don't think that's much of a relevant complaint as long as it's not ridiculous.
That's about it that we've got time for today. So, guys, what is your favorite pie?
Well, my grandfather makes a great crushed pecan pie. Ooh. So, yeah, I love it.
Kitten pie for me, definitely. No, I'm joking. I'm not really a pie person. Would you accept the pecan plat as a compromise?
Okay.
I quite like those.
Yeah.
Take an apple pie with a slice of American singles.
American singles? Like the cheese?
Yep, warmed up in the microwave.
Okay, I'm not bringing you my pie.
Oh yeah, we said the same thing, don't worry.
And Cindy, what did you say yours was again? Apple?
Yeah, coconut cream pie.
That's right, I should know that. I'm such a bad person. No. I'm a pumpkin pie
person.
Before
we go, can I ask one question?
Okay.
I just want to ask you guys, the question that Russ Brown asks everybody is, you know, are you having fun? That's the most important question. When you're playing beta, are you having fun?
You know, and I've been at this for 3 years. I've been looking for a MMO to actually stick to after I quit WoW before Wrath. And I've hopped and I've hopped and I've hopped. And this is finally an MMO that I can say, hey, I'm going to be here for quite a while.
I mean, you get you see the answer with probably the playing stats, because you get to level cap on a character, and then in most games you're like, yeah, I've seen that, and then on Rift you're like, ooh, what character am I going to do it on now? So you just go back and do it again. And like people have said, it's just different every time because of the dynamic content changes it up. I mean, you've got the same basic quests, but it's not the same overall experience, and it's just, like I say, I just love that about it as well.
It's definitely revolutionary. the hands down, definitely.
I say with four classes and 9 different souls for each classes, along with rifts spawning everywhere, and the developers being on top of everything, I say this game is going to have a lot of content.
Well, I've been having fun. I've been having a lot of fun, and I'm really happy that I've been having a lot of fun, because I've been putting a lot of faith in the game for a very long time.
Oh yeah, as have we.
Well, I would like to thank everybody. Thank you so much, guys, for taking time out to do this with me. Especially you, Vecna, because you're in England, right?
Yep, definitely.
So it's like really late there right now.
We had to wake up.
Yeah, but a little secret that made the girl laugh today was I was half asleep when Merc told me the other night, so I got my time zones completely wrong. So I was actually up 12 hours early, raring for it, thinking, where the heck is everyone? Oh. You know, podcast. And then, they took mercy on me and told me, so I felt a bit stupid then. But no, it's been brilliant. Thanks.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, Rival. And thank you, Apatheus, whose name I keep pronouncing differently every time I say it.
I don't think anyone's gotten it down yet.
And Cindy, as always, thank you so much for taking time out of an extremely hectic schedule to come and chat with us.
Oh, as always, thank you for inviting me. And thanks you guys for participating in beta and for all of your feedback. It's been really great to see, you know, people enjoying the game and giving us good feedback, good pointers for things that we can adjust and change as we move towards launch. So,
it's our pleasure. We love doing it. We love helping the game we love. So,
now, it is refreshing to hear different viewpoints on PvP. It's also nice to know Abby was taking notes. Hopefully some of the less popular aspects will be fixed in time for launch, so we can look forward to World PvP on launch.
Woo! Exciting. And now our competition is a guild competition. How fun is that?
I think so.
Everybody's making guilds now. It's about that time. We want you and your guild to make a screenshot album for us. 7 screenshots are required. Each guild can come up with their own theme. 6 of the screenshots must be from different members of the guild, depicting at least 3 or more guild tags. And 1 of the screenshots must be the entire guild as a group, or as close to the group as you can get for beta, because not everybody's in it.
Yeah. Basically, you have to stick to your theme. If you make a theme, you have to stick to it in those screenshots. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very important. In the chat box, in your guild chat area, you must have the following visible in the screenshots. Hi, Rift Podcast, Beta 5. Now, I do realize some people are probably going to want to take away the user interface, in which case, now I know you can enable chat bubbles. I'm not sure if you can see them when you take the user interface away. So if you can't see them, then we just need a with and without the user interface. Yeah,
then you can have the cooler picture that you like.
So you would then need to send us 14 screenshots with and without so that we know it's the exact same screenshot.
Because I know, I just pointed that out to her, that whenever we take screenshots, we always turn off our UI because you have
it's so much
stuff. It's like, especially when you get a higher level, it's just like, spells everywhere. So, there you go. And now, why would you do this? Because we have some great prizes. Engine Guild Hosting is currently working on a whole set of Rift features to implement very soon and have an amazingly versatile user interface. They have been kind enough to sponsor this podcast contest.
Yep. Now, they are offering an ultimate guild hosting package for 12 months, including a 25-person Mumble server as first prize. And as our second prize, our runner-up, they are offering a premium guild hosting package. So, if you're not familiar with Engine, we'll have links to them up in the blog post and on our site.
Believe me, it's so easy. I think I could do it.
She could, too.
Yeah, I'm not very good with the HTML and all that. I tried to make a forum once.
See, you don't need to, because they do that.
Exactly. I don't have to do that. It's just like, I remember when I was a kid trying to do Neopets and doing my profile pages. That didn't work very well.
The competition will start with beta on January 25th. All entries have to be in by 12 midnight CST, January 31st. We will announce the winners in the podcast on February 6th. Stay tuned next podcast on January 24th for the rest of the details and the complete rule write-up. And we may be adding an individual competition. It just depends on whether or not we can iron out a few of the details. And I hope that's enough dates for you. We will have them written down as well.
You may want to get a journal for this.
We're really looking forward to seeing what themes and guild albums people come up with.
And now for the weekly update. Tuesday, January 11th. Game Trailers released an exclusive overview of the Warrior class.
It's really good.
Rift player Fenlock created an awesome Beta 4 gameplay trailer with settings at max. Tryon released yet another new zone in Talaris, Garwood Reach. Check out the details over at 10 Ton Hammer.
Yep, it's been a good week. Now, on Wednesday, January 12th, Massively Speaking, the official podcast of Massively.com, had an interview with Scott Hartzman and Cindy Abigail Bones early this week. It's a good listen. Make sure you listen to it.
Definitely. And Thursday, January 13th, Tryon released some new lore on Cyril Calamar, Champion of the Guardians. Zam's BFF report talks about character creation and how the game works.
And on Friday, January 14th, once again, Ink Gamers got their hands on Rift and released another hands-on preview.
It's really starting to ramp up towards release, hype is starting to build, and there are less than 6 weeks release. Yep, that's right, 6 weeks.
I know.
Crazy, ain't it? Looking really forward to the next beta.
Less than 6 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god.
I know. She just pointed that out to me, and I'm like, oh.
How are we going to have time to play and do a podcast? This is going to be, like, serious time management issues.
I think my more challenge is how to play, do work, and school.
And the podcast.
And the podcast, I know, but I counted that in the playing. Now, because we're getting closer and closer to release, we're giving a valiant effort to make sure we have all the information on our site up to date. This means fan site links. We have numerous fan site links and are pretty sure they are all reciprocal. Thanks, everyone. But we'll be checking just to make sure.
Yep. Now, if you are not sure if we have you listed, please check the links down the right-hand side of our webpage under fan sites. If we do not have you listed and you'd like to share links, just send an email to us via riftpodcast@gmail.com titled Fan Site and your fan site name.
Now it's about that time again. Don't forget to visit us at riftpodcasts.com. We'll have all the links mentioned up in our blog post. Less than 6 weeks to go until launch. It's a countdown.
I know.
You couldn't tell.
5, 4, 3, 2. Anyway, remember.
It's not New Year's anymore.
I know. Remember to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. If there is something you would like to contribute or to share with us, you can contact us via riftpodcast@gmail.com in comments on the site or through the Contact Us feature. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is Arithian.
And this is Deskus.
And we'll talk to you next week.